All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Required Viewing. It has been a while. There has not been a lot to talk about until now, because the Emmys have woken up from their COVID slumber and decided on nominations for the last year of television. The way the Emmys calendar works is this was entirely during COVID, because eligible shows run from basically things that came out starting in June 2020 all the way through end of May 2021. So essentially, all of these shows were the shows that came out during, you know, during lockdown. And it shows for sure. But let's get into it. I guess if you don't remember us, it's been a while since our last podcast, so we should introduce ourselves. I'm Zach, and I'm here with my co-host Shams.
I forgot what we do as an intro, and I'm like, wait, we never had an intro.
Planned anything. And also, I mean, all the people who listen to this already know us, so I don't know why we introduce ourselves.
There may be that one person.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. I mean, I have looked at the metrics, and we do have some random hits in like France.
Yeah,
and
I'm sure there's some dude who's like, I really want to listen to an Emmys podcast, and just randomly stumbles upon us.
Yeah. I mean, that was probably me, and I didn't find one. So that's why we're doing this. So,
yeah.
All right, well, let's talk about comedy first, actually, because I just pulled up a website, and that's the order they have it in. I guess, I don't know, let's start with best series. The nominees for best comedy series during COVID are Ted Lasso, not a surprise, The Flight Attendant, which was a front runner, according to all of the websites that post this kind of thing. I didn't see it. Did you see it?
I saw one episode. My sister loved it. So,
all right. Hacks, which was great. I watched that recently. Kominsky Method, longtime Emmy favorite. Pen 15, which a lot of critics are pleasantly surprised by. Blackish, also something that's been nominated many times. And then Cobra Kai, which wasn't. I mean, that's not like a huge surprise. It wasn't considered a front runner, but everyone, I think, had it on their list as a dark horse. And then if I scroll way down the page, you have the real shocker, Emily in Paris.
Yeah.
Shams is shaking his head, shaming the Academy.
I mean, I don't know a single person who actually, like, everyone who I know who has watched that show has seen it literally as a hate watch. Like, and I mean that literally. I know like a bunch of people who have seen that show, all female, all hate watch it. So I guess hate watching is a thing, but like, you don't usually nominate.
You don't hate nominate. That's not a thing.
Yeah. So. Hate nominate isn't exactly.
Yeah. So for one, I haven't seen this. I did watch a 20-minute YouTube video about how it's terrible and kind of racist. I think this is like borderline offensive to the entire country of France. Google Emily in Paris racist and you'll find a YouTube video explaining it. I think the reason, I mean, I haven't seen the show. It's garbage, I'm sure. But the real reason I think I'm angry about this is what was snubbed instead of this, because there were two candidates, which, first of all, Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet season 2 came out during the mostly during the eligibility period. Oh, no. Well, the whole first season, I think, came out during lockdown. Oh, no, that came out before.
That was before.
So, yeah, it was the second season, which was great. I think, honestly, in the past year, it might actually be the best comedy on television. If you haven't heard of this, that's probably because it's on Apple TV. And it is it's basically run by the creative minds behind Always Sunny in Philadelphia and one of the main writers from Community. So if you like either of those shows, or if you like Silicon Valley and video games, it's pretty much, the premise is very much just Silicon Valley, but for the video game industry. It's great. There's another one also that is just kind of showed up, Girls 5 Eva, which I assure you is actually good, despite the title making it sound like it's awful, which honestly is the theme of comedy this year, because like Ted Lasso, the trailers, it just looked like it would be awful, but it was great. Shams, I think you disagree on that, but this is for hating on the Emmys, not hating on good shows.
I mean, Ted Lasso is going to win if we just want to cut to that point.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that's a good point, because there's not really a whole point in complaining about nominations unless you believe nominations like are something to earn. Like if nominations have value in and of themselves, then, you know, you should be a little angry about some of these picks. But I mean, yeah, I think Ted Lasso is for sure going to win.
To be clear, of all these nominees, I actually probably would pick Ted Lasso too. So I don't actually fully even am upset if Ted Lasso wins. I just think I think comedy is just a weak category.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I think, spoiler alert, it actually might be the strongest category during the pandemic. So that just, we'll see what we think about the other ones. But
if you look at it, look at this, because I was actually looking at this. This will be, I think, the first outside of Blackish, I think. I don't believe any, actually, no, Kominsky Method had.
Yeah, Blackish and Kominsky are the return nominees.
Right, but most of these are like brand new nominees. And outside of Ted Lasso, I don't know. I don't know if any of these will really stick around. I kind of see this as just kind of a weird year.
Yeah.
And a lot of these shows just kind of got
Hacks was good. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but
I haven't seen.
I mean, it's just an excuse to have Gene Smart kind of lead a comedy, and it delivers on that promise for sure.
True. It will be interesting though, because if you look at the comedy, just to get like historical value, comedy usually has been one of those categories where, in the past, up until recent years, it was always really given to like a lot of the same shows. So like in the mid 2000s,
yeah, it was like Modern Family 10 years in a row.
You had the sitcoms, right? So it was like Everybody Loves Raymond, Modern Family 1, Office, 30 Rock. They basically dominated, literally, if you look at the winners, basically from like early 2000s to late to like mid 2010s, right? And then Veep took over, but then Veep literally dominated like the entire later half of the 2010s. But since Veep has left, really, you've had Marvelous Miss Maisel, then Fleabag, then Schitt's Creek, right? So we've had no duplicate winner in the last 3-4 years. We're not going to have a duplicate winner this year. So I'm interested if you think that this is now just going to be the trend for this category, where in the past it used to be a category where you would have at least back-to-back winners or 2 out of 3 years the same show wins. Do you think now it's turning into an award where basically if you win it, you're probably not going to win it again?
It could be. I feel like comedy, I mean, I feel like that's kind of the same for all the category. Well, obviously not limited series, because those don't repeat, but drama I think was the same way, where there were a couple of good ones for most of the time. The thing is, like, dramas just on average didn't last as long as comedies. Like, comedies, just the average number of seasons in comedies are higher. And there wasn't, I guess it was slightly less competitive, but now it's definitely a more competitive category. I mean, we've said it again, though, it's not competitive enough to warrant like 8 nominees. Like, I don't see a year, like, this is the problem with like both drama and comedy with TV, is like they force it to be 8 nominees. And then somehow limited series only like usually has 5 or 6. It depends on the number that are submitted, but like, holy hell, are there way more limited series that are Emmy worthy than 5 or 6. And then it's always comedy struggling to fill 8 shows that are actually like deserving of an Emmy nomination. So, anyway, speaking of Jean Smart, by the way, front runners for comedy actress, got their nominations. It was Jean Smart and Kaylee Cuoco from The Flight Attendant. Other nominees were Tracy Ellis Ross, Allison Janney, and I think there's one more. I have to scroll down. From Shrill. That one was actually kind of unexpected. I think if there's a snub here, it's probably Renee Elise Goldsberry from Girls 5 Eva. maybe Maya from Pen 15, but overall,
well, Renee got a nomination anyways, so it's okay.
What was she nominated for?
Hamilton, which we'll get into later.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's certainly something we'll get into. So yeah, this one I'm not surprised by. Like, I don't think there were any standout. I mean, acting in comedy is like, it's actually harder. Most people agree, but there's very rarely, like, I guess because of that, there's very rarely like standout performances.
Yeah, look, it's pretty standard. I mean, I want to give a shout out to my boy Keenan for getting nominated for his show. Keenan, great. I always love when they just, whenever they name a show just based off the lead character's name. Yeah. It's like the laziest form of television titling. And they're just like, Keenan. So
actor is obviously, you have Jason Sudeikis.
Sudeikis has a lot. I mean, I think that would be the biggest shock of all the category.
Yeah, that one's 100% locked. So Keenan got another nomination. You have William H. Macy from Shameless, which I did not know was still on.
I think it was its last season.
And then Michael Douglas and Anthony Anderson for Kominsky Method and Blackish, respectively, also heavily repeated nominations over the past couple of years. So nothing super surprising there. I don't see. I guess I would consider Rob McElhenney not getting it for Mythic Quest kind of a snub. But I mean, it doesn't matter because this is Ted Lasso is going to pick this one up for sure.
Yeah, it won't be. I think pretty much Ted Lasso is winning everything it's nominated for. I think Jean Smart probably wins.
Yeah, she's actually, I don't know, according to the Gold Derby odds, she's in a kind of a, I don't know, there's a lot of people going for Kaylee, so that one might be.
Yeah, and it's interesting because they're both HBO Max shows, so it's always interesting when you have shows competing from the same network.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that screw over HBO before, right?
Because
they had the year where it was three different episodes for directing were nominated from the same, was it Game of Thrones? It was Watchmen, right?
It was Watchmen, yeah.
Yeah, Watchmen had three different episodes nominated for director, which gave it to Unorthodox One director.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, so it's interesting. I think, it's between those two. I don't know. I don't know who else would win. Maybe Tracy Ellis Ross, I guess, but I don't know.
Yeah, comedy supporting actress might be in the same boat. They have... well, no, never mind. I was going to say they could split the vote with Ted Lasso because you have both Hannah Waddingham and Juno Temple were nominated for that. But I don't like the rest of the nominees are like Kate McKinnon, because why not? Cecily Strong from SNL and A.D. Bryant from SNL. So when you're basically like using SNL as like the filler nominees, that's a sign that there's a clear winner. So think that one's going to Ted Lasso.
And I didn't realize Ted Lasso literally has four nominations for best supporting actor.
Yeah. So yeah, let's go to that one. It's four. literally the entire cast. Like it's except for what's his face? Jamie Tart isn't nominated. Hax even picked up the nomination.
The owner person isn't nominated.
Wait, who? From Ted Lasso?
Yeah.
Well, was he even a...
No, the woman.
Yeah, she was. She's the front runner for actress. She's a lead.
She's not nominated.
Yeah, she is. Hannah Waddingham?
What are you talking about?
For Ted Lasso?
I'm not seeing her on the list right now.
Really? Am I looking at a different thing than you?
Yeah, I'm looking at the official nominations.
I'm pretty sure she was nominated. Her name's Hannah Waddingham.
Yeah.
What? Let me check this out. Does Gold Derby have a...
No, she's in supporting. Sorry, she's not in lead. That's why I was going to... Okay, that's why. She's in supporting.
Oh yeah, sorry. No, I said she's lead. No, okay, she's the front runner. She's the leader
Comedy Support. No, I was looking at the wrong thing. I thought she would have been lead actress, but yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah, that actually. Well, yeah, I could see that, but they probably wanted to put her in supporting, so she would win and not be competing with Jean Smart.
Yeah, but just since we're on the subject, I just want to be clear. If it wasn't for COVID, people would not have liked Ted Lasso as much as they did, and it would not be getting this love. I stand by that.
It bumped it. It's still the best. It's still the best thing that came out on this list. Sure, except for maybe Mythic Quest.
I firmly believe that.
Well, yeah, I mean that's objectively true because if you look at all the comedies people were into before COVID, they were all dark comedies. Like it was all like Barry and stuff like that, and now it's like more feel good comedies. So yeah, that's the way it goes. Even Schitt's Creek to some extent was like that. The win probably COVID probably affected that win because the voting all happened after shutdown.
So
we have basically you got Kenan Thompson, who actually Kenan Thompson apparently is the front runner according to Gold Derby for supporting actor for SNL, not for Kenan.
And then it's like, because I think it's his last. Wasn't it his last year?
Oh, on SNL? Yeah, that would do it, yeah. Also, like, I don't know, like, who out of the Ted Lasso people... I feel like out of the Ted Lasso supporting actors, like, Brett Goldstein for playing Roy would be the clear frontrunner because, like, he was the other one who it felt like had a really, you know, Emmy-type performance. Yeah, I don't see the others winning, especially if... But if they all split the vote, too, that's, like, that's even more evidence that Kenan would win.
I don't think Kenan's going to win.
Yeah, and then let's skip over guest actress because no one cares about that. I guess that's it for comedy, unless you want to look at the directing and writing.
I think Zach Braff's going to win.
For what?
Didn't Zach Braff direct it?
I don't know. Gold Derby doesn't have it, so I'd have to go to a different website.
Yeah, Zach Braff. I mean, Ted Lasso has three nominees.
Which episodes is it?
Biscuits. I don't really think the episode matters. I just think that people see Zach Braff and
for sure. But
that's.
I'm curious. I don't know if I remember the episodes, but I usually it's like clear which episode would win.
Yeah, so I'm convinced that. Yeah, I mean, Ted Lasso is going to sweep. If it's not a Ted Lasso sweep or near sweep, anything near.
I mean, it's not going to be like Schitt's Creek level sweeping. No. It's like they're going to win most of it for sure. All right. You want to talk about drama?
Yeah, let's talk about some drama because this one is also hilarious to me.
Okay. So the nominees for. Drama series, you know, funnily enough, this actually is if there's only eight of them, which yeah, I think there are, these are actually in order from what was predicted by Gold Derby. So this might be the most predictable category. Starting with the top, The Crown, probably a lock, because it'll make sense why that's a lock when you hear the second front runner, according to Gold Derby, would be The Mandalorian.
Goddamn right. You're goddamn right it is.
Followed by... If that wasn't laughable enough, followed by Bridgerton, The Handmaid's Tale, which I believe that would be for season four. Yeah. Which was awful. The Handmaid's Tale is a show that has gotten consistently worse, almost linearly. Like there's some shows like Westworld where there's a big drop off. The Handmaid's Tale just gets like slightly worse. Like I'd say like 8% worse each year. And yet it still has like great cinematography. Like I'm watching it. I'm like, this is like the worst show that just looks super good. It's like, it's basically like a really attractive person who like is just a dumbass and everything they say is stupid. But if you ignore what they're saying and just look at them, they're super hot. So you don't care. That's The Handmaid's Tale when it comes to cinematography. Pose, Lovecraft Country, This Is Us, and The Boys round out the rest of those nominations.
Yeah, so the fact that The Boys got nominated, I don't like The Boys. I think.
Well, are you more upset about that than Bridgerton?
No, because Bridgerton, I don't like Bridgerton, but I can understand.
Yeah.
The. Emmy people nominating it, fine.
I'm just trying to think. Like, I agree. Like, I think it's a weak nomination pool for sure. The only question I have is like, what should have gotten it instead? Like, Perry Mason is probably the like only one I can think of. Wait, but that wasn't.
Is that a drama series or is that an anthology?
Perry Mason was submitted in drama. It was the ninth. It's basically the one that like didn't make the cut according to Gold Derby. Like it's number. Okay. It's in slot number nine. Because other than that, like I'm looking at it's like Falcon and the Winter Soldier. For All Mankind, second season was pretty good. I just caught up on that, so maybe For All Mankind. There's some like more obscure things that like probably deserved a nomination, but they're like no one watched them. Like P-Valley is a good example, pretty critically acclaimed Stars show that no one's heard of or watched. What else is there? No, there's like nothing else good in drama. It was a real dry spell for, Raised by Wolves was submitted for drama.
Yeah, I never really got around to that.
That one kind of like disappeared. I mean, it doesn't matter. The Crown's going to win. It's pretty clear.
I think you're over. I think you should. I agree that it's the front runner. I really think Mandalorian has a chance though.
Really?
I really think it does.
All right. You heard it here first. If the Mandalorian wins best drama.
I mean, to be clear, Mandalorian is going to win the most Emmys technically.
Emmy? Oh, well, if you're counting technical awards. And
no, yeah. Technically it's going to win the most Emmys. And I think that the Mandalorian of all these shows is clearly the most popular. It's not even
close. What do you mean by you're saying it's going to win the most Emmys, not including the technical Emmys?
No, I'm saying it's winning all the technical Emmys. Okay, it's the most popular show. And I think that it was a real strong crowd-pleasing season. And I just think that I'm not saying it's going to win. If I had a bet on it, I'm betting The Crown. But okay. I'm just saying that I don't think – like Ted Lasso to me is a lock. I don't think The Crown is a lock.
Okay, I would say The Crown is like a lock with a slight Achilles heel. I don't see anything. I don't see any of these winning other than The Crown.
I mean, The Crown's probably going to win. But
especially like here, that'll make more sense when we go through the rest of the nominees. So like starting with lead actress, the nominees are Emma Corrin for The Crown, Olivia Colman for The Crown, Elizabeth Moss for Handmaid's Tale, Uzo Aduba for In Treatment, Journey Smollett for Lovecraft Country, kind of a surprise, and MJ Rodriguez for Pose. So the two front runners are Emma Corrin for playing Princess Diana and Olivia Colman for playing the Queen. I don't think the rest have a chance unless they somehow split the vote and people like Elizabeth Moss again. But I don't think people do.
No, I mean, yeah, it's going to be Colman.
Yeah, I don't see any other. And I don't see any snubs here that are worth mentioning. Those were the two. Wait, are you saying it's going to be Colman, not Emma Corrin?
I think it's going to be Colman. I don't know why. No,
you got to give it to Lady Di for the same reason why. What's her name? Gillian Anderson is going to win supporting actress for playing Margaret Thatcher.
I don't know. I think Colman has a hard job, to be honest. I think Elizabeth is a harder character to act because there's actually less that you have to use. Diana,
100%. But that's not how the Emmy voters think.
I know, but to me, right, what Colman does is way more impressive.
Yeah, didn't she win last year? Or I forget who won last year.
Oh wait, if she won last year, then.
Changes things. I forgot though if she did.
No, Zendaya won last year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
Emmy Award winner Zendaya. The rest of the nominees for supporting actress are Helena Bonham Carter for The Crown, Anne Dowd for The Handmaid's Tale, Samira Wiley for The Handmaid's Tale, Yvonne Strahovski for The Handmaid's Tale, and also Emerald Fennell for The Crown. She played. The other girl, I can't remember her name, the mistress of Prince Charles.
Camilla.
Yeah, that's right. Camilla Bowles. Madeline Brewer for The Handmaid's Tale. I can't pronounce this name. Ms. Ellis for Lovecraft Country. And wait, who is that from Lovecraft Country? Oh, she played the sister, I think. Journey Smollett's character's sister. Yeah, that makes sense. So yeah, basically, again, The Crown's going to sweep that one. It was a very, I mean, this season of The Crown was basically like, other than Josh O'Connor, who's also the front runner for lead actor, it was a very like female centric season of The Crown, kind of centering around the relationship between the queen, the prime minister, and the new princess. And then Josh O'Connor for playing the D-bag that is Prince Charles earns his nomination for lead actor. Billy Porter for, I think this was the last season of Pose. So if he doesn't win now, I don't think he ever will. Matthew Rhys picked it up, our boy Matthew Rhys for Perry Mason. That dude from Bridgerton, I don't know why, but sure, he got a nomination. And so here's where, you know, the interesting thing, Pedro Pascal did not get the nomination for Mandalorian.
Yeah, he shouldn't.
So it's like, how do you win? I don't know. How does the Mandalorian win when like they don't have any like other things they're nominated for other than like the technical awards no one cares about?
Baby Yoda.
Like, all right. Okay.
I mean, like, it's
spoilers.
Just
bit, spoilers, Shams.
That's like literally episode one of the first season.
Yeah, everyone, and if you haven't seen
it, everyone has seen Baby Yoda at this point.
All right. Yeah, and then the last nominee there was Sterling K. Brown for This Is Us. Not surprising. I didn't even know he's even still on that show. And then Jonathan Majors for Lovecraft Country. And then last category is supporting actor. This one's interesting. You have Michael K. Williams for Lovecraft Country. I'm actually surprised Lovecraft Country did so well. I mean, it's HBO.
Yeah. That HBO's not going to get shut out.
Then you got us in kind of second spot front runner would be Tobias Menzies for The Crown. I feel like if he didn't win for season three of The Crown, there's no way he wins for season four.
I mean, you like, assume that the Emmys people are rational, and that's not true. Because there's one thing that we have to bring up about these nominations that just proves that Emmys, at the end of the day, make no sense.
Is it that they love Netflix for no reason? No,
it's the best guest actor in a drama series.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we'll actually look. I was just going to skip that, but I don't. Now I'm curious what it is because I don't know what you're referring to. Bradley Whitford for Handmaid's Tale, John Lithgow for Perry Mason, pretty solid. I'd nominate him for any show he's in. Then you got Giancarlo for Mandalorian. Okay, so they did pick up an acting nomination for the villain. Chris Sullivan for This Is Us. And then the boyfriend from The Handmaid's Tale, O.T. Don't know how to say that name.
I can't pronounce it either, man.
Matt, and then another dude. Oh, the other dude, both the boyfriend and the like side piece dude from Handmaid's Tale. Not a great show. Anyway. And then drama guest actress is more people from Handmaid's Tale. All right. So what is this? Get drama guest actor?
All right. So the reason why the Emmy should never be taken seriously is because of this exact nomination. Whom the actor themselves was very un. So if you look at the Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Guest Actor in a Drama Series for 2021, you have Carl Weathers for The Mandalorian, which is deserved. Courtney B. Vance for Lovecraft Country, which is okay. Timothy Oliphant for The Mandalorian, solid. Charles Dance for The Crown, good.
The front runner.
All of those good make sense. Then we have Don Cheadle for The Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Oh.
This is a little bit of spoilers, but it's the first episode and I don't care. John Cheadle literally has 30 seconds in the entire show. And he has about two lines. And it's like the most boring, uninteresting. There's nothing. It's like not even dramatic. It's just like standard character reading. He literally exists in the show just so they could show him in marketing. Don Cheadle himself tweeted, "I don't get it either, guys."
Is this the least work anyone's done? I'm for some reason I'm thinking like this has happened before. So like this might be the least work anyone's done to get a guest acting nomination, but I'm pretty sure there was one. You know what? No, it was this happened before with The Handmaid's Tale. There was a guest actress nomination where it was literally someone who was like, I don't know if they even had any lines. And I forget who this was because obviously they're not like a memorable part in the show. But I think I remember this a few years ago. There was a year where they basically just said, like, if you have a female name and Handmaid's Tale, we're nominating you. End of story. And someone got a guest actress nomination who was like, probably did even less than Don Cheadle did in Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
So anyway, not surprising. I don't think anyone takes guest acting nominations.
Oh, I get seriously. It's not taken seriously, but it is absolutely absurd that he got.
Yeah.
It. It's like,
I mean, when I publish my predictions, there won't be one for guest because it's pointless. That's a silly category.
But yeah, I think Mandalorian, like I said, it's not as of a far shot.
Yeah. So I don't have the writing and directing ones up right now. Do you want to read those off? Or
yeah. So is directing, Bridgerton has one. Crown has two. One for Fairy Tale, one for War.
Oh, that makes sense.
Handmaid's Tale has one. Pose has one. And then Mandalorian has one.
Which episode of Handmaid's Tale is it?
Wilderness.
Oh, is it the one? Is it one that Elizabeth directed?
No.
Oh, really? Okay. Oh, wait. Wilderness was the finale. Yeah, that kind of makes sense. But I mean, it's going to go to the Crown for sure.
No, I think Mandalorian could easily win directing.
What episode is it for Mandalorian? It's
the Jon Favreau one of the first episode of the season.
Oh, okay. If it's Favreau, maybe, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'm telling you, man, Mandalorian is not some – I think people need to – you need to recognize it. If you look at writing, all right, if you look at writing, by the way, just a note, Crown only has one writing nomination. The Boys has one. Lovecraft Country
has one. The Boys has a writing nomination?
Yeah, but the only drama series that
Hold on, Shams, we need to stop on this. The Boys has a writing nomination?
We'll get to that in a sec. The only show that has multiple writing nominations is The Mandalorian.
Really?
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's not out of the question.
I mean, The Crown isn't really a writing, like the writing isn't what makes it good. It is very much a director show. Like it's production design and directing that makes that show good. That said, The Mandalorian, that's interesting that has two writing nominations.
I'm just saying.
But The Boys has a writing nomination.
I mean, The Boy, yeah. So let's just talk about this and we can move forward.
Wait, so I didn't know they hired writers. I assumed they took the comic book, gave it to actors and said, here, ad lib this. Because that's the quality of writing on that show.
I assume their writers were outsourced 16-year-old boys that they just paid like minimum wage to make a script. Because, I mean, The Boys is... It feels like the type of like show that would be on like
CW. It's a CW show.
It's like a R-rated CW show. Yeah.
Aren't all CW? I don't really watch CW.
No, they're not R-rated. It's network television. But yeah, it's just such a stupid show, and it's the type of show that people. I'm going to sound so pretentious right now, and I don't care.
This podcast is a pretentious podcast. Yes. If someone's actually listened to it for this long and doesn't realize that, then they probably have no business listening to pretentious podcasts.
It's the type of show that lesser people think is really intelligent and deep when it really has nothing to say. And it's like, no. I hate it. I think if it wasn't popular, I wouldn't actually hate it, to be clear, because I would just be like, okay, yeah, like no one actually likes the show, so whatever.
Like we just wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't popular.
Right. It'd just be like, okay, yeah, there's this show that's like a superhero whatever satire thing, and it's like, whatever. But the fact that it's like actually become like a legitimate brand and like popular and people, I'm just like, it is not good that this show is popular. Let me put it that way.
No. Okay. Well, that's drama. Limited series, usually the most competitive category. I think that it was definitely less competitive this year, but you know, probably still more so than drama and comedy, just because there's only 5 nomination slots for it. So in order of likelihood to win, according to Gold Derby, you have The Queen's Gambit at 100% chance of winning, followed by I May Destroy You, followed by Mare of Easttown, followed by The Underground Railroad, which I started watching and probably need to try again to get into, followed by the reason I assume you want to talk about this category, Shams, WandaVision.
No. I wanted to talk about it actually for all the other stuff, not even WandaVision. Okay. Because WandaVision, I actually think, first of all, that I think Queen's Gambit may suffer from being released last year. I think there may be some recency bias that could go against it.
For Mare of Easttown?
Yeah.
I think that could be true as well, except for the fact that I just don't think anything else has really come together in the way.
I think like, the thing is, we'll know before the award comes out, because if Kate Winslet wins over Anya Taylor-Joy, then
I actually think there's a world in which Kate Winslet wins.
I see
that's possible.
So I think that's what's so interesting about this category, right? Is that basically the categories, the nominations, other than Underground Railroad, are basically all the best actress for lead actress for a limited series, which is really interesting to me because I don't know if you really have ever had a category two of the categories so synced up like that before, where, I mean, literally each one of those shows is literally driven by its actress.
Yeah. The only difference is you have, so it's basically Queen's Gambit, I May Destroy You, Mare of Easttown, and WandaVision, and all mirror their lead, was nominated for lead actress. The only difference is instead of Underground Railroad, you have,
National Geographic.
Cynthia Erivo for playing Aretha Franklin in the 3rd season of Genius, which does kind of fit into the same, category, just celebrating very different parts of Black culture. That either way, they're both two-way races between Queen's Gambit and Mare of Easttown. I think, though, there is a world in which Kate Winslet wins for Mare of Easttown, because that was a show that was entirely predicated upon the performance of Kate Winslet, whereas The Queen's Gambit was amplified by Anya Taylor-Joy, but it still has a lot going for it in addition to the performance.
See, I think I have it the other way around, because Mare of Easttown, Look at the nominations. It has more acting nominations than Queen's Gambit does.
But that's because there were more, there were more characters in Mare of Easttown that were like the entire spotlight was on Anya Taylor-Joy. I give it that. But here's the thing is the set, to use this metaphor of a stage, like the set also looked really good in Queen's Gambit. The score was really good. Every aspect of it was great television. Whereas Mare of Easttown, I don't think, like, for it to win best series, it needs to have more going for it. And like the story wasn't great. I think we talked about this over text. Like you were not like
that big on the story at all. To be clear, I'm not. Yeah.
I don't remember the score. I've heard no chatter celebrating any of the, the set design or that. It's all of the chatter about Mare of Easttown has been about Kate Winslet and whether or not her accent was authentic.
So to be clear, I should have said at the beginning, the actual best series is The Underground Railroad. It'll be the only series 10 years from now that people will actually remember. the other stuff will get forgotten.
Have you seen it all? I've heard that opinion from a couple of critics, and I need to watch it.
It's the actual best show. It's not even close.
I watched the first episode and couldn't get into it, so I'm assuming that the actual railroad happens.
It's all going to feel the same to you. I'm just going to be real about that. It doesn't get any like better per se, but it's okay.
I need to watch it in a better
mode. You gotta be in it's not a show you just casually put on. No.
Yeah.
Right. So that aside, right, I think it's interesting. I think though, if you look deeper in the nominations, it is hard to look into this too much, but there are some interesting things to look into. One being that I May Destroy You is the only one that has multiple directing nominations. All the other ones only have one.
Oh, that makes sense.
But then the other thing that I think is crazy, and I don't know if you know this, all of those shows have won. I May Destroy Mare of Easttown, Queen's Gambit has won nominations for writing. WandaVision got 3 nominations for writing.
Really?
3. So, again, I think...
Did the Emmys forget what the word writing means?
I think the thing that is interesting about this category is that I don't know exactly how the voting structure works again, but I think people are actually divided, because I think a lot of people's favorite is... I don't think everyone's just like, oh yeah, Queen's Gambit is my favorite. I think the voters are actually kind of split between what's their favorite among this. I think Queen's Gambit is the front runner, mainly because I think it's the most popular, and it's just been...
I mean, it has everything going for it. That's the thing. It's already won. Netflix.
It's already won all the... It's literally won the awards already.
Yeah.
Right, like it's won the Golden Globes and the SAGs, I think, already.
Like, in my opinion, this is like the same thing Chernobyl did, where it came out and just had the death march to the sea, taking every award with it. I think this is just like the final, the final crown.
So that would make sense, except that Mare of Easttown and WandaVision were not released when.
Yeah, but WandaVision's not going to win best.
I don't think it's going to win, but I think you have to recognize it could take votes away.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing to note is
I think people like WandaVision a lot more than what we're giving credit for. They shouldn't, but they do.
Yeah, it's strange though, because I think in the Emmys, the writing wing of the Academy votes for the writing awards, whereas best limited series is voted on by everyone in the Academy. So it's strange to me that a bunch of actual writers voted for WandaVision and for The Boys. So yeah. So I want to talk about...
Well, so the one thing I wanted to say, you actually asked me, the reason why I found this category interesting, because of the 5, I don't know why it was even eligible, but for whatever reason, the Hamilton on Disney Plus was eligible for the Emmys. And it's really weird to me. It actually shocks me that it was eligible. It got nominated for all the acting, and yet it somehow didn't get the series. I find that to be very strange, actually.
Hamilton?
Yeah.
Because it's a TV movie.
Oh.
But to be fair, it wasn't nominated for a TV movie.
That's so weird to me.
Yeah, and I've never heard of any of these things that were nominated for TV movie.
Like, I just don't get, like, it got so many of the acting nominations.
There's oh my God, one of the nominations for TV movie is Christmas on the Square.
Shut up.
Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square.
Oh my God.
Emmy nominee, Dolly Parton.
Okay, that explains. I was so confused. I was like, wait, how is it getting all these nominations?
But yeah. Hamilton wasn't even on the list, so they must not have.
It shouldn't be eligible. I don't understand why it's coming for an Emmy.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. So let's talk about lead actor, because this is particularly egregious. So Lin-Manuel Miranda was nominated for best actor in a TV movie / limited series. Leslie Odom Jr. also picked up a nomination. Right. Ewan McGregor got a nomination for something called Halston, which I've never heard of. Do you know what
that is? You've never heard of Halston?
No.
Yeah, it was not. I just saw actually like one episode.
And then you have Paul Bettany, who played Vision in WandaVision. Hugh Grant, which does kind of make sense.
Oh, I think he's winning, right?
Well, so here's the thing. The front runner to win before nominations were announced was Ethan Hawke for Good Lord Bird.
Oh, yeah. He didn't get nominated.
And he got snubbed. Yeah. So this is confusing to me. And this is also probably why I wasn't, you know, as into Underground Railroad, because I had already watched Good Lord Bird. And I really can't watch too many, you know, Civil War era, you know, slavery focused things in more than a year, because I'm a white man and anyone who watches too much of that is, it looks a little fishy. So, but Ethan Hawke, you know what I mean. That's a delayed reaction to that joke.
You see too many white guilt stuff. We gotta look into this guy.
Yeah, you don't want to be one of those guys who's like watching a ton of Nazi movies and like, you know, just because they're interested in the history, you know. Anyway, that was a joke. I'm glad you laughed, although it took you like 10 seconds.
Yeah, I was trying to see where you're going with it for a second. I was like, I'll let him finish.
But okay, so the point is Ethan Hawke, like literally, I haven't seen some of these, but like that was honestly the only good acting in this category. Like Hugh Grant did his best to carry a terrible script, but Ethan Hawke screaming about being Osawatomie John Brown at the top of his lungs for 6 or 7 episodes was some of the best shit I've seen. And it's a travesty that two actors from a stage play that was filmed and put on Disney Plus, as good as Hamilton is, don't come for me on the Twitter. I love Hamilton. But it should not be nominated here.
You can come for me. Should not have been nominated.
No, that's what I'm saying. I agree that, but like, I'm not saying Hamilton is bad. It's like, it's definitely one of the best things I watch, but it is, you're watching a recording of a play, of a Broadway play.
It shouldn't be eligible.
That's not like, it should be winning Tonys, which I think it already did. Yeah, Ethan Hawke should win.
This is interesting, right? Because, like, they're all big actor names. I mean, Paul Bettany, Hugh Grant, Ewan McGregor, big actor names. And then the other two are, you know, big in the sense that, like, you know, within the people who vote, they are well familiar with Hamilton, right?
You know what? I'd take Chris Rock for Fargo over these Hamilton, like, this is,
but like, no. I actually think that like freaking Hamilton could win just because it's on the ballot.
No, I don't think so. I think,
I don't know.
I think there would be too much outrage because, like, if you think of the people voting here, like,
people sure love they like Hamilton, though. I think, like, literally, if there's not a strong, like, let me put it this way, if I'm a voter, right, and I don't think any of these guys have been that great between Bettany, Grant, and McGregor. But I loved Hamilton.
Yeah.
Well, why wouldn't I give it to Leslie Odom Jr.? I'm not saying that's right.
Well, they'll split the vote because Lin-Manuel Miranda was...
No, because Leslie Odom Jr. is the better actor. Everyone knows that. He won the Tony. In the Tonys, Leslie Odom won the best actor, not Lin-Manuel Miranda. So.
Yeah, but they could still split some of
the vote. No, they won't split.
Whatever vote they have. Let's talk about supporting actress, because there's also a big snub there, in my opinion. Mariel Heller from Queen's Gambit was not nominated, which obviously you mentioned this earlier, but Renee Elise Goldsberry picked up the Hamilton nomination for Hamilton here. Julianne Nicholson for Mare of Easttown and Jean Smart for Mare of Easttown both probably deserved. Catherine Hahn is apparently the front runner for WandaVision.
I think it's going to be Julianne Nicholson
For Mare of Easttown. Especially if Jean Smart's going to win for Hacks, like, that's
Julianne Nicholson has the big moment and has
true spoilers, by the way, but true.
She has a scene that is like what they call like the Emmy scene.
Yeah, I mean, she essentially has the equivalent of the the Carrie, or what's her name, the Jodie Whittaker scene in Broadchurch.
Yeah. So like, I just think that if you're an informed voter who has watched all this stuff, I just think you gotta give it to her.
Oh, there's more nominations. I didn't even realize this because you have to scroll really far down on the list of like the predictions on Gold Derby. Somehow Moses Ingram for Queen's Gambit.
Moses Ingram, yeah.
Why did she get a nomination and Mariel Heller did not?
I don't know.
I guess, and then Pippa Sue for Hamilton.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything.
Interesting nominations here. Do we care about supporting actor is interesting.
I think Evan Peters is gonna win.
This one's interesting actually, because the front three of the front runners, like the top three front runners in the predictions, all did not get nominated. You have John Boyega for Small Axe, Bill Camp for Queen's Gambit, and Donald Sutherland for Undoing. They were all snubbed.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be Evan Peters.
For Mayor of Easttown. Yeah.
If Mayor of Easttown wins both supporting and Kate Winslet wins best actress, I mean, I think it's a done deal.
Well, I don't think that, I don't know. Because you got to look at things like.
I don't know, man. I just don't. I don't see it happening.
Oh, Jonathan Groff also picked up something for Hamilton here.
Oh, yeah. He got the Tony for that, too.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. Oh, wait, and there's one more. Anthony Ramos for Hamilton. Wait, what? Who is he? Who even is this?
He plays two characters.
Okay.
He plays his son and then he plays John.
You have to scroll really far down on the list of predictions to even see that. That is, wow. Okay. Yeah. These Emmys, I mean, granted it was probably one of the worst years for television in recent history, but like, yeah, this is probably the weirdest, this happens every year, but I think this is like, there are some particularly egregious snubs here. I probably said the same thing last year, let's be honest. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think limited series, I really hope to make limited series the last award of the night, because it's definitely the most interesting one. So I'm interested to see just how they unveil things, because I think it's clear to me that I think last year comedy was the last one presented because it gave to Schitt's Creek.
Was it?
I think they did.
I thought Schitt's Creek just swept everything and that was the end of it. Because didn't they do?
Yeah, and I think they gave it the last. I'm saying like during the show.
No, they did. Wait. No, I'm pretty sure they did all the, because like they did all the comedy together, then all of the other stuff together.
Oh, okay. Maybe I just stopped watching after Schitt's Creek.
That was like first, because it was like really awkward. I don't remember the order. I just remember they did it weird because they bundled everything. They did like all the comedy awards. So it was just like Schitt's Creek one after the other.
Can we just, hey, switch of topics quickly. Switch, quick sidebar. Is Conan going to win, do you think? Because it's his last.
Oh, I don't even follow any of that. Is that the category that John Oliver wins every year?
Yeah, or Daily Show, one of the two.
I don't follow any like of those. What's that category even called?
Variety talk series.
Variety talk. Yeah, so like talk shows, like I haven't, like it, I don't know. It's just stupid because the only good talk show ever in America was the Craig Ferguson Late Show.
Yes.
And ever since that's off the air, like, anyone who knows anything is watching Graham Norton instead of all this shit. So
that is true.
And I don't even think he, it's funny how, like, why do we agree so much on talk shows, but we don't agree on everything else?
Because talk show is probably like, I think talk show is, I just hate what it's become, but like at its peak, I think talk show is actually like maybe my favorite form of content.
That's hilarious. Yeah, and I'm still like, all my YouTube suggestions are basically like old Craig Ferguson interviews.
Talk shows, that's why I always, the podcast craze always weirded me out. Because if you grew up watching talk shows like I did, you're like pros. I've already been doing. They're like, yo, you know what it's like to just like listen to two people talk for a half hour? I'm like, yeah, I watch talk shows like every day as a kid.
That's a good point.
I'm like, I used to stay up until like 1:30 a.m. watching Craig Ferguson. So yeah, I understand it. Why are you doing this in 2021? I was doing this as like a 13-year-old in like 2003. So
that's funny.
No, I love the talk show, and yeah, but yeah, I'm interested to see if they make it with Conan, just because this is last year.
Well, we've somehow kept this under an hour, and that's all of the Emmys travesties that all I. Right,
so wait, quick, okay, Flash, okay, quick. I'm going to ask you. I'm going to give you the category. I'm going to say what you are predicting and what you want. All right. Okay. So
well, I'll publish all this on my website.
Yeah, but lightning round. All right. Comedy series.
Comedy series. Honestly, Ted Lasso.
Same. Lasso. Drama series.
Let me scroll down. I think if I remember correctly, let me see if there's anything that, I have to scroll through so many nominees here. Comedy. There's so many things. If there's something that I liked more than The Crown, it's not on this list of nominations. I can look at, my best of list for TV. Yeah, there's nothing else. Yeah, I think it's The Crown. Can't think of anything else.
All right. Yeah, I would say Crown's going to win, but Mandalorian of these nominations was my favorite limited series.
Yeah. And you're saying if you had the pick, you'd give it to The Crown?
No, if I had to predict, I'd give it to The Crown.
Well, what's the one? Who do you think? Who would you
want to vote? Oh, if I had a vote, I would give it to Mandalorian, not even.
Really? I thought you were the Mandalorian hater in this group.
No, I did not enjoy Mandalorian season one as much as everyone.
Oh, I was pro Mandalorian season one. You were, I remember that.
Mandalorian season two, outside of episode two, was everything that I wanted it to be.
What was episode two? The like spider thing?
Yeah, the ice caves and stuff.
And Baby Yoda eating the eggs?
Yeah, it was just, yeah.
Let's just be real. If Bridgerton wins, I'll probably just boycott the Emmys next year.
I mean, to be clear, I'm still on a boycott because of what they did to my girl.
Which girl?
Better Call Saul.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure. But we'll see, because that wasn't eligible this year. So we have a temporary hiatus of being angry about Rhea Seehorn not being nominated.
Okay. And then last, limited series.
So actually this just reminded me, because there's actually is another snub that we didn't mention. And the probably the best limited series in the eligibility period would be It's a Sin. Like phenomenal miniseries. And I think for sure Queen's Gambit is going to win, in my opinion. But frankly, It's a Sin definitely should have been nominated over WandaVision. And unless I actually finally watch Underground Railroad and think that's better, I think It's a Sin was probably the best miniseries of the past year.
I think Underground Railroad is the best. And I will predict that Mayor of Easttown will win. I will go out there.
Okay, so that's where we differ. I'll publish the rest of my predictions on my site as usual. But for the three that matter, that's our battle then. Queen's Gambit versus Mayor of Easttown.
Yep. So we'll see how things go. I'm going to be more excited, I think, hopefully a year from now, if we have this conversation again. I think it will be a way more exciting conversation.
Yeah, so we got, let's see, what do we have to look forward to? Succession season 3, obviously. Trailer just came out. Barry's coming back. Is Barry officially, is there a date for that?
I just assume.
Okay, so Barry should be back. They are filming, I think. Better Call Saul season,
Final season. I mean, that alone, just those three things alone, man.
Yeah, wait, aren't they splitting the final season into like two halves?
Oh, I didn't know about that.
I thought they were going to do that.
That would really annoy me.
Because that would mean they're probably only going to have one half of it in the eligibility period. Because that's what Breaking Bad did. They stretched their Emmy eligibility for the final season to two periods. I mean, I'm still happy to have that show back. Between, yeah, so like we could actually have a legitimate, like, good roster of amazing shows back next year.
Succession, though, it's gonna be crazy. I mean, Succession's, it's gonna be over 2 years since it aired, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Right? Am I?
It's still fresh because I relive it every day with GIFs that I post in Slack and, you know, whatever form of communication I use to chat with anyone.
Yeah, like it's. I think that show is going to be so big when it comes back this year. I think it's. Yeah, I think it's going to take.
It's going to be like the festival of like TV is back.
Yeah, I think that show is going to That's exactly.
Because Prestige TV has been on hold. Like everyone, basically since COVID, like no one's wanted to watch these like dark, depressing Prestige TV shows. And as soon as Succession is back, that is like, that's when the pandemic's over in my mind, when Succession is out.
Yeah, I just think Succession's going to. I think it's, I mean, if it delivers, I think we're looking at the biggest drama.
And if we have Better Call Saul, and if the Crown is going to do the season where, the death of Diana, and what was the other one?
Better Call Saul, Barry.
Yeah. Barry's comedy, but so yeah, we could have a really heavy drama race. I don't know. Well, comedy, I guess, like What We Do in the Shadows could come back. That was a big Emmy favorite in its second season, and if the third season
Ozark's
is good,
Ozark's gonna come back.
Oh yeah, but I forgot the Academy actually likes Ozark.
They love Ozark.
They love Jason Bateman.
Oh no, for sure. I mean, next year. Mandalorian, if I think you're going to have Mandalorian, Ozark, Succession, Better Call Saul, The Crown.
Well, Mandalorian, I don't think will be out. The third season's not coming out in the eligibility period.
Wait, when's the eligibility period?
It would end in May, and they're not. They announced they're doing the Boba Fett series, but I think Mandalorian's not coming out till after. So we will have one Mandalorian free Emmys next year.
That's a shame.
So it'll be like the serious, basically all the serious shows are coming back and all of the, you know, posers will go away. So yeah, let's look forward to Emmys 2022. Because this one is going to be shit.
Yep. And with that.
That'll be the title of this episode.
I think that's a great way to end it.
All right. See y'all.
See ya. Bye.